I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence you shall come to judge the quick and dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Our lectionary comes from Hebrew 5, verses 1 to 10, and Mark 10, 35 to 45. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins as well as those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but take it only when called by God, just as Aaron did. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by one who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." As he said also to another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered his prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Our second lesson is from Mark 10, verses 35 to 45. James and John, the son of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Appoint us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left, it's not mine to appoint, but it is for those whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that amongst the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their ruler lords over them, and their goals, their great ones, are tyrants over them. But it is not so amongst you. Instead, whoever wishes to become great amongst you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first amongst you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. May the Lord add his blessing to his reading. Amen.
Greetings, Ebenezer United Methodist Church. Greeting in the name of the Lord. I thank God to Reverend Mark Benson for ministering, allowing me to minister before you today. I thank God for Sister Ella Barnaby, who invited me to speak. I thank God for Sister Tisdale and all of you for being for allowing me to speak before you today. I want to welcome our guest, Reverend Virgil Nelson and Sister Natalie Nelson once again. If you don't mind, if you don't want to stand, you could just give a wave. Amen. And the beautiful praise dancer that you just saw perform is Corey Watson. She's my cousin. And so I give God praise and thanks for her. Amen. And we also thank God for Brother Omar being with us today. Amen. Amen. Greetings in the name of the Lord. So I am so excited to minister before you today. I send greetings from the Odenton Church of God, where my pastor, Reverend Cherise Webb, is the lead pastor, and her husband, Minister Damon Webb, are the lead pastors. They give their greetings to you in the name of the Lord, and thank you for loaning me to, thank you allowing me to be here. They're loaning me to you. And so I give God praise and thanks for that. I've been, as you saw, a minister for several years at the church, and my sister actually is the lead pastor, Reverend Cherise Webb, and so I'm the assistant pastor, and so I give God praise and thanks for that. Amen. So the theme for today, I was told, was love one another. Amen. And it was so fitting with the theme, especially with the song Beautiful Praise. I love the worship song, We Are the World. Amen. It really speaks to where we are today, because you see a lot of disunity in the body of Christ. And I just want to invite you all to stand for the reading of God's word as I begin. It's just a little passage, so you won't stand long. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. And the word of the Lord reads, "With all lowliness and gentleness and longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep in unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling." Amen. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity for me to minister before your people today. I pray, Lord God, that I will decrease so that you will increase. I pray that you'll help me to speak what you'd have me to say to your people for this time and this season. And I just pray, Lord God, that your anointing will flow as I go forth to minister your word. I thank you for the privilege of being in this pulpit, and I thank you for the opportunity to minister before your people today. I pray you touch the hearts of your people, be open to receive the word today. And I just pray, Lord God, you let the word fall on fertile ground. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. So as I was reading, you know, I actually wrote it down from the NIV version, and it says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." And when you hear that passage of scripture, you know, I was told this is the theme, loving one another. There's a lack of love in the body today. We see a lack of love in our world today. And that's why this International Day is so important and so fitting, because of the fact that there's not a lot of love out there. Just this past 2 weeks ago, in just 1 week, I had two different phone calls from two different people calling me because of the fact that they were upset and angry with a matron in their family. And they found themselves using all kinds of obscenities and profanity and all kinds of things to an elder, a matron, you know, a person that was supposed to be highly respected. They were using all kinds of evil towards them in their words, all because they were provoked to anger. And, you know, the scripture warns us as a body of believers, you know, as elders, you know, we shouldn't be provoking our children to wrath. And likewise, we as children are to honor our fathers and mothers, that our days may be long on the earth. Why? What takes us to the point that we would say such harmful things to those who are supposed to be our loved ones, those who are the ones we're supposed to respect, those that we're supposed to show regard to? It's a lack of love. When we don't love, all that proceeds out of our mouth when we're angry and frustrated is hate and obscenity and profanity. And what God is wanting to teach us today as a body of believers is how to truly love. You see, a lot of people don't know what love is, what love looks like. You know, the world has its definition of what love is. Love is based on a feeling, an emotion. You know, I'm in love today because everything is going, oh, I fell out of love because this person hurt me or wronged me. I'm in love today because this person looks so fine and so beautiful. I'm out of love because they let themselves go and they don't look as great as they used to when I first met them. You know, the love that the world defines is very fleeting. It's today I'm in love with you. Today I don't care about you. Today you matter to me. Tomorrow you don't matter to me. But when we really look at what God says about love, we understand it's not fleeting. It's not based on emotion. It's not based on, okay, how you look or how you speak to me or how you act. Love is unconditional, amen? How do we know love is unconditional? Because the Father demonstrated his love when he gave his only son to die for us so that we can have life and we can have it more abundantly. When you look at love, you know, you look back at Ephesians 4, you know, Paul wrote this passage in Ephesians. He gave it to the letter to Tychicus. And he was basically ministering to the church at Ephesus, which he stayed with for about 3 years. And as he ministered before the church, the lead pastor was Miletus. The people were really heartbroken to see Paul leave because of the fact that he was really sharing with them and embodying to them what love looked like. And that's why you see in this passage of scripture, Ephesians 4, 2 through 3, and I'm reading it a lot because I want it to sink in your spirit. Even as I was going over the message last night, I found myself, actually early this morning, I found myself meditating on the scripture. I believe that we need to not just read this just in passing because we're in church. Let it resonate with you. Meditate on what the word says. Notice Paul, the people were heartbroken when Paul was leaving. They knew it was the last time they were going to see him. You know, he was with Ephesus for 3 years, and then he had to leave. And so as he was leaving, he gave them this message. He said, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. When you're patient, you're going to have that loved one who's going to provoke you and irritate you and agitate you. But you learn to look past it because you love them. Think about a person who's wronged you or hurt you in the past. Actually, think about the person you love the most, the person you're in a great relationship with. Do you have that person in your mind? Everybody have that person in their mind? Think about the worst thing they ever did to you. Did you fall out of relationship with that person? Think about it for a second. The worst thing they ever did to you. Why are they still your friend? Why do you still have a relationship with them? Because you chose to forgive the past and move forward. Because why? Because that's what love is. If you really want to know what love looks like, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in your Bible, or now we're in modern technology, your cell phones, if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And notice what it talks about when it says love. We can have it practically memorized. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not puffed up. It's not easily provoked. Notice how it coincides with Ephesians 4, 2, 3. Be humble. Be gentle. Be patient. You see, when I love you, I can be patient with you. You know, that little man over there, little Elijah, who's given his amen over there, I'm sure he slapped mom plenty of times, has he not? Have you decided you're not going to feed him anymore? You're going to put him aside? No. No matter how much he slaps her, spits on her, probably, you know, goes to the bathroom on her, she still chooses to forgive him and love him anyway. She didn't say, oh, you ruined this perfectly good outfit. We're done. I'm done with you. I'm putting you up for adoption. That's it. I'm done. No, because she loves her son. No greater love has a man than this, that he lays down his life for his friend. Love is patient. We need to be patient with one another. sometimes we get frustrated, you know. We get out, we're having a good time praising the Lord. We get in our cars and we head on our way, and somebody cuts us off on the highway. And immediately, what's the matter? The first thing comes to our mind, all kinds of manner of evil. We're ready to lash out. All of a sudden, the love that, you know, we're singing, hallelujah. That idiot, what is he doing? Didn't he see me driving? And we go off on a tangent. Where's the love? Where is the love? Love is patient. I know it's not easy when somebody provokes you. And I call them repeated offenders, because you have those repeated offenders who constantly provoke you, annoy you, irritate you, agitate you. But what is it that makes you choose to love them anyway? Why do you choose to love them? Because you choose to walk in forgiveness. We have to choose. You know, notice what the passage of scriptures in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 says. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Notice what it says, it's an effort. We have to make the effort to make unity, to bring peace. We have to decide, you know what? Even though this person stepped on my foot, I'm going to choose to be at peace with them. Even though this person brushed past me, I'm going to choose to be at peace with them and forgive them. Even though this person didn't say good morning to me, even after I said a good morning, I'm choosing to be at peace because I want to love. You see, what distinguishes us from the world? What distinguishes the Christian from the world? The scripture says that they were called Christians because they were Christ-like. And how were they Christ-like? But because they embodied love. If you notice, when Jesus was walking throughout the earth, he constantly demonstrated love. He had compassion. The Pharisees were getting upset with him because he was healing on the Sabbath. Remember, he straightened the woman who was hunched over for 18 years. You know, she was bound by Satan for 18 years. And what happened? The Pharisee got on Jesus because of the fact he healed on the Sabbath. Instead of rejoicing that this woman was released from this bondage for 18 years, he's getting on Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. Why? Because there was no compassion. He lacked love, and Jesus was demonstrating love. The same thing happened when Jesus healed again on the Sabbath. The man who was by the water, if you recall, by the pool of Bethesda, he said, there's nobody to put me into the water so I can be able to get healed. And Jesus said, pick up your mat. Today you're healed, you know, walk. And so what happened? He picks up his mat as Jesus commanded him to do and walked. And what happened? People were upset. Oh, you're carrying your mat on the Sabbath. Again, the religious leaders, the lack of love. You see, as religious leaders, you know, you may say, well, I'm not a religious leader. I'm not a reverend. I'm not a doctor. If you call yourself a child of God, you are a religious leader. And as a religious leader, we have to represent Christ in our words and in our deeds. That means that when somebody does something wrong to me, I can't respond like the world does. I can't respond with hate. The world responds with hate. That's why there's so much destruction in our world today. That's why there's so much evil in our world today. I remember doing a study, and I was reading about, you know, and I'm going to get the name wrong. If those of you who are of African descent, please forgive me. But the Hutus and the Tutsis, that was the battle in Rwanda because of the fact that, you know, one group was doing very well and another group wasn't doing very well. And so the one group decided that they were going to start killing off anybody that was of this tribe because of the fact that they were always so wealthy and they were so poor, and they just couldn't learn to love each other and walk in peace and live in community with one another. So they started this massive war that had to end. It ended up other countries getting involved in order for them to be at peace with one another once again. And when you go back to the root and the history, I'm not going to get into all of that right now. I just want to summarize it to help you to understand all it stemmed from was a lack of love. I didn't see. The Hutus and the Tutsis couldn't see themselves as brothers. All they saw themselves as tribes against each other. And so as a result, they were fighting each other. And they were at war with each other and trying to destroy one another instead of seeing each other as brothers. The same thing happened with Esau's descendants. Instead of making sure that Judah's descendants were taken care of, the minute they saw that the Babylonians were coming after them and taking over, instead of looking out for them, they chose to walk in hate towards them and loot them and take over, and God was displeased with them. The Edomites were descendants of Esau. Judah was a descendant of Israel. They all came from Abraham and Isaac, but they couldn't see each other as brothers. Bringing it to current day, many of us have managers, am I correct? Bosses. It's hard to see your boss as your brother, right? Or your sister, right? Especially when they don't give you the raise that you think that you're entitled to, don't give you the position that you feel that you're entitled to, don't give you the status that you think you're entitled to, and they keep passing you over and passing you over and passing you over. It's hard to show love. But one thing God showed me, and what I'm telling you today, as I begin to wrap down this message, is how important it is for us to walk in love. I recognize it, I understand it, and I found myself walking in hatred and anger and bitterness because I didn't get my way about something. I went to all the ends. I decided I was gonna go take my manager to his manager, have a big meeting. You know, I felt like Esther. I said, Lord, I'm Esther, and it's Haman and the king, and I'm gonna go as Esther, and I'm gonna plead my case, and I'm gonna win on this. And you know what happened? The president heard me out. The CFO heard me out. I said my case, and I collectively went back to my office and did not get what I wanted. I was embarrassed, I was humiliated, I was frustrated, I was upset. I had my whole speech prepared, I had worked hard getting all this stuff together, did my research. You know, I'm a researcher, as you can see from my work. But I didn't get what I thought I was entitled to. And what got me was the CFO, who is my boss, turned around after the meeting and said, let me buy you dinner. I didn't want him to buy me dinner. I wanted a raise, I wanted a position, and I wanted him gone. And instead, he bought me dinner. And then I had to stay late because we had to do this meeting, so I had to stay late. He stayed there with me. I was so mad. I said, God, this isn't supposed to happen. He was supposed to be let go. I was supposed to get my position, get my raise, and be a happy clam. I was supposed to be Esther, you know? I had this whole fantasy played out. But God showed me my attitude was wrong. I didn't show love. I had hatred in my heart towards my manager because he had wronged me. And I needed to, and God was dealing with me with that. He was like, he's showing more love than you are. You're supposed to be the Christian. And I was checked really quickly. And it helped me to understand, you know what? We have to show love. I'm still at peace with my manager. I've learned, I stopped grunting good mornings and rolling my eyes whenever he'd walk by and grunt. And, you know, I was a piece of work, okay? Don't be impressed with the Reverend Doctor. I'm human. And when the flesh rises up, the flesh rises up. But how do we bring the flesh in check? By letting love prevail. I could have chosen to carry the war on, but it was a battle that I was losing because of the fact that there was no love in me, and God was not going to bless me as long as I walked in hatred and anger. He doesn't care who it is, and he doesn't care what they did. We don't have the right to hold on to bitterness and anger. I'm reminded of a lot of family members that are much older now, and I could see the difference in the ones who are aging peacefully and gracefully and enjoy with their right mind and right and everything intact. You wanna know what the secret is to the peace and growing older with dignity and respect and everything intact? They choose to walk in forgiveness on a daily basis. They choose to walk in love on a daily basis. People have wronged them, people have hurt them, but they chose to walk in love. The ones who are struggling with all kinds of health issues and all kinds of mental issues, all because of the fact they choose to meditate on unforgiveness. This person did this to me, and they can't forget it. I have one uncle. He's gone on to be with the Lord. My aunt's still angry with him. They've been married 40 years. She's still angry with him. He's gone on. She said, I'm not divorcing you because I want your pension. And she was determined that she was going to get his pension no matter what. So they lived separated for 40 years. They were married for 40 years. They only lived together for 1 year. For the 39 years, they were separated. And she said she would not divorce him just because she wants his pension. She got his pension. She still is angry with him. He's God ought to be with the Lord. The man died in 2018. To this day, she still holds on to bitterness and anger and unforgiveness towards him because of what he had done to her. And it's affecting her health, all because she refuses to let it go. I want to encourage you as a body of believers, if you take nothing away from this message today, choose to love. Don't let the enemy rob you of your peace. Let Ephesians 4:2-3 not just be a message or a sermon or a little theme that we're doing for International Day. Take the time. Meditate on it. Meditate on what the word of the Lord is saying to you. I'm going to read it again one more time before you, and then I will close. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You know, love doesn't bear record of wrongs. It doesn't keep a record. Let's not keep records. You know, we always say, I'm going to forgive, but I won't forget. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Remember that. Well, they hurt me. They wronged me. They did this to me. Love doesn't keep a record of wrong. I can't say I love Jesus, who I've never seen, but my brother, who's sitting right next to me, I'm saying I don't love him because of the fact that he wronged me. I can't say I love God, who I've never seen, but I can't stand my sister because of the fact she hurt me. Let us choose today to walk in love. Take your peace back. Take your joy back. Take your peace back. Take your joy back. Don't let the enemy rob you of the happy life, of the truly joyful life. It's not a happy life, because happy is based on emotions. The joyful life that says, regardless of what happens in my life, I am choosing joy. It's the song that you all sang, there's a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives. Save your life today. Choose joy. Choose peace. Choose to walk in forgiveness on a regular basis, especially with the repeat offenders. Choose to walk in forgiveness. Choose to walk in love. Let unity prevail. Let love prevail. And watch how God blesses you beyond measure. People will look at you and say, how come everything's always working out for sister? Why is things always working out for brother? Why is it that every time they always have people around them? Because they carry an aura of love. People don't want to be around you when you're carrying an aura of hate. But when you carry an aura of love, it just follows you wherever you go. Because why? Jesus is love. And what has he said? The greatest commandment of all, love, right? Love. Love your neighbor as yourself, love God, but love. So let that be the key today.